Hi. Thank you for coming out to hear a live taping of my Boise Art Scene podcast. I'm Morgan McCollum. This is Troy Shreve. He works at Idaho Public Television with me as a director, videographer. The primary show that he's doing these days is a newer series called Created, which is focused on Idaho artists. That's one of the, where I'm kind of focused on Boise artists and have shifted to being more of a podcast stuff. The public television platform's able to reach out to the entire state and stuff. And where this is a hobby project for me, this is the Created project is an actual one that has good backing and some awards under its belt and proven some of its goodness. But yeah, so a little bit about me for a second, I guess. I started doing Boise Art Scene in 2020 after I graduated from Boise State. Once I finally got gear that I thought was adequate to do the videos that I wanted to do, I was working at Channel 6 at the time as a videographer on the morning news, and it gets a little repetitive to shoot the same. You shoot different topics, but you shoot it the same way every time. And so I wanted a creative outlet. I wanted to build a portfolio. So I started doing interviews with artists, and that's kind of what I've got on the screen there. Yeah, I wanted to, it was a twofold thing. It was going to help me get my name and my voice out there, or not my voice. I stayed quiet on the things, but now I get my voice out there. But it allowed me to help a group that I thought was underserved in a way. There's a lot of amazing creative people here, and if you don't know where to look, it's really easy to just not see it. And the amount of public art that's around the city and the investment that they've put into it is, it's incredible, but like it's also really easy to overlook if you just go by or drive into work and you get your mind blindness. So to try and shine a light on that, I've got Boise Art Scene. And yeah, so to get into the guest and a little bit about the actual topic here today, I wanted to talk with Troy about, again, Created from Idaho Public Television. And again, full disclosure, you know, this is a hobby project for myself, and public television is both of our day jobs. and yeah, that's what the Created stuff is for. But it's been going for about 3 years now. This is the third season. There's about 10 episodes in the current season so far. Is that correct?
Season three, this one? Yeah. No, we've just done one, actually.
Oh, so that was season two was the last.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had one piece in each of the two seasons that have been out so far. Last season, I did one on Delia Dante and Fire Fusion Studio. And Troy helped out a lot on the interview shoot for that one with lighting and getting stuff set up. And that one was shot over several months. I think we started taping in summer and it came out in around Halloween. But that's one of the nice things with some of these projects that we're able to do for Created is these more in-depth pieces that are longer form. And yeah, I intended to bring some of that video along. All I've got is my own personal video stuff. But so Troy has recently edited down some pieces that I did some videography on, some of the videography on. He's done some of the videography on, but yeah, Troy does it all. He's an amazing guy. But yeah, so I wanted to ask you to get started after saying I was getting started. I wanted to ask you a little bit about what got you into doing videography and why you enjoy doing it.
It all started in high school for me because back in the 1990s is when video in high schools was kind of rare, but our school had one. And I'm a homegrown kid, so that was Caldwell, Idaho, of all places. So that's kind of what sparked me. They would do the morning announcements on the news, and I thought that was pretty fascinating. So I went to Boise State and learned the media production there in the communication department and photography and those kinds of things. And then I also worked at a commercial station, and then now here I am at public television. So it's kind of just... it's just been my life forever.
Well, that's a very similar story to how I got started as well. I went to a charter high school that was arts-based, and I did like theater, and we had a state-of-the-art for 2001 media lab with a bunch of Apple computers, and they had Final Cut on all of them, and I learned how to edit, and just stupid Jackass was really popular, and so me and my friends skateboarded, and we liked to film each other, and I had dabbled with video editing like very crudely. My friend had a 8mm cassette recorder, and I would plug that into my VCR, and then the left audio channel would have the camera audio, and then the right audio I would plug in like my CD player or something. And
kind of had to be a tech wizard back then.
And I had, you know, had no idea I was video editing even at that time. I just thought I was transferring it to a VHS, but you know, I was clipping things together even at that point without. Yeah, so it's just always been an interest, I guess, but for me anyway.
Well, it's our creative outlet, I guess. So,
yeah, the Created series has focused on lots of things over the last few years, and it kind of came out of the gate swinging. The very first piece that was put out before. While the formula, I mean, there's not really a formula for the series, but while the quote-unquote formula was being developed, Troy, Marcia Franklin, I shot one of the interviews for it and was there for a few of the other pieces, but I worked on a piece about a group here called Open Arms Dance Project, and they're kind of a adaptive dance group. They are inclusive dance group.
Inclusive, multi-generational, non-professional. So just anybody who wants to express themselves through dance can join this group. And
yeah, I think the youngest person in the video is 12 and the oldest is in their 70s.
70s, 80s, something, yeah.
wide range.
Even those who can't walk are included. So.
Yeah. There was a piece that is currently on YouTube. I mean, they're all on YouTube as well. But there was a piece... one of their is called Strength, and it was a segment of their performance. And that one has, I can't remember her name, but a woman in a wheelchair and
Hava.
And with ribbon, you know, she's being assisted around the thing. And it's really
nice. It's really beautiful.
Well, and you shot it amazingly. The videography that you put together for that was,
I'll just back up a little bit. Created started just kind of out of a need for public television to really focus on the arts, because that's something that, while public television did art-related segments in other shows, there was never really anything specifically devoted to the arts and the art world and artists and things like that. And so this was also a time to experiment with less traditional ways of getting the message out there. Through public television is always just a broadcast entity, and so this is a non-broadcast
digital first.
It's there are longer pieces, there are short little reels and pieces that are on social media and things like that, so it's kind of lots of different things that are thrown out there. But these longer pieces, that we call them capstones, and they're just kind of ways to tell a little bit more of a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, and also then take these and put them together for broadcast at a later date. And as soon as we get enough light, we've broadcast many of them, but the goal is to have enough like projects, like several stories about painters or several stories about dancers or something like that, and then build a show about those topics. But we're still in the little, the early stages, so.
Yeah, and some of the pieces have more recently started being put in between on public television. There's no commercials. It's that's one of the nice things about it. That's part of why we're able to do a really long piece, you know, a 30 minute or 28 minute uninterrupted news show, or a 28 minute show about rodeos, or hour long show even about rodeos, that with just a couple of breaks. But not having those commercials is kind of, it's nice in there. But we have to fill the space between shows, because not every show is exactly fit perfect. So more recently they've been, I believe it's been actually implemented, I know it's been talked about, but they were wanting to air some of the pieces that were, you know, 2 or 3 minutes long in between shows as something a little bit different to show people.
Yeah, a little interstitial. So we've also collaborated with the Idaho Commission on the Arts, because they have several short films that they have done over the past few years for their filmmaker artists, and we were putting those on our air too. So they usually have 3 or so minutes between shows, and so if a piece is short enough, then we can squeeze it in there and just get it out on the airwaves, because that's, for public television, that is where the bulk of the viewership is on television. So,
well, and again, with Created being a digital first series, the stuff goes out onto YouTube, onto the Idaho Public Television website, Instagram, Facebook, like it goes everywhere. Yeah, it is trying to reach that different audience than the traditional public television audience that watches broadcast. But there have been a couple of times, like around the pledge time and donation season, where they've put together some of these created pieces that might not have been seen by other people and aired them as a show of pieces, kind of.
Yeah, just to help get the word out. So during the festival, they call it festival, the on-air fundraising time, we've put together pieces, and that gives us an opportunity to come on the set during the live break and talk to people about the how and the why and things like that, and to help give funding.
So you mentioned that with Created in general, but also specifically with that first Open Arms Dance Project piece, the one of the goals was to kind of change the traditional way that maybe broadcast television presents videos. And I don't know if you mentioned it, but I know from conversations that we've had that you have kind of a desire to make some of these pieces more film-like and use some different techniques and stuff like that. I feel like with the Open Arms piece, there was a lot of innovative choices, you know, like at least stuff that you don't often see, you know, use of gimbals, use of cameras. Granted, you see use of gimbal all the time, but
more and more now.
But you know, some of those lower angles, some of the following shots, and obviously you'll need to actually see the piece. It would be great if I actually had it here to show, but instead you just get to hear me talk about it. But it's available on YouTube and public television's website and just all over digitally.
I think what you're getting at is that, and since my background is like television and broadcast and yours as well, a lot of us come from sort of a news background, because that's where the TV stations are around here. And so it was just kind of a desire of mine to get away from how simple we have, I thought, kind of always done things real simply, mm-hmm. just to get it done, because that's the way I did it for so many. And it's like trying
to
get out of
a rut.
When you
work at a commercial station, you're trying to hit that 5 o'clock deadline. And
yeah. And
then,
you don't take time to, you know, light something, you know, because you throw up a light and you hit record and
you're one person on the run. You can't
You're one person. And so it was kind of just a desire of mine, even just a personal one, to just try to not do that. Like how I see these big fancy, how can little old me do something that to emulate what you see on you know, you like, you know, for lack of a better term, like a Netflix documentary. And obviously that's, you know, $1 versus $100 million, whatever, that's sure. Not the point, but it's just to be artistic with it a little more and try to do better.
Well, and I think that's some of what makes, you know, the created pieces specifically, but Idaho Public Television in general pieces a bit different is, I can tell you from personal experience that everybody there loves telling the stories that we're telling, and we very much appreciate being given the space to tell those stories well and not just do a surface level headline. You know, not naming names and not talking business too much, but I was recently reading a newspaper article online, and it was very in-depth, thorough reporting. And then I switched over to reading a TV news article, and it was about a paragraph, you know, what would take about 5 seconds to read on air. And that's, yeah, when I worked in that commercial news, you know, you didn't have time for making aesthetics. That quality and that deadline, you know, and that's why I started doing Boise Art Scene, was because I got tired of shooting a wide shot and then a medium shot and then a close up and then running those for 5 seconds and then repeating it. And I wanted to, you know, get off the tripod. I wanted to, these days I am currently doing an Alexa Rose residency at the Commonwealth in Garden City. The opening show for that is on the 4th. I'm putting together a documentary for that. And I've been working a lot more on lighting, which that's one of the things that's severely lacking in these older videos. But lights are expensive, and luckily the money from that residency afforded me the ability to get some nice lights for my own stuff. I get jealous getting to work with the television station equipment because it's so nice, and you know, for my personal stuff I have adequate gear. But you know, yeah, so trying to change up that standard and get away from that standard local news look and feel.
Yeah, I did a lot of research to try to, you know, just aesthetically, how can I make my lighting better? How can I make the sound better? You know, how to hide microphones so I don't see the microphone, because yeah, that just takes me right out of the story. It just feels like I don't want to watch a news story. I want to watch a documentary. So
as I'm editing my documentary, I am guilty of only owning lapel microphones. And one of the interviewees is wearing a light shirt, and there's a very black microphone just sitting on his collar. And yeah, I thought of you very much, because we've had these conversations about hiding the microphones and some of the ways that you've come up with to tape it on and hide it.
Well, there's always the boom mic option too, but mm-hmm, if you're out roaming around and you don't have another person, if you're a one-man band...
Well, and a lot of the shoots that we do, you know, you might have a producer that's there helping and maybe getting some extra shots and stuff, but, you know, they're not going to hold a boom mic and balance audio levels and everything else while you're there. So you're still, in a lot of ways, doing a lot of that solo. And, yeah, the more stuff you end up doing solo.
Yeah, very small crews is kind of, that's what we have to work with. So mm-hmm, it was kind of a lot of exploring about how do others do it and still accomplish these, you know, really great results. And it just, you know, comes down to just experimenting and learning and kind of getting out of what you always did before just to get by, and try to just think about it a little different and practice it. And you know, some tools help, different, the new tools, new equipment.
Yeah. It's incredible. I keep saying this, but like doing my residency documentary, I was looking to see if I could reuse some of these shots that I've got. And, you know, I mean, some of these shots are 5 years old, and the camera that I had back then did not quite hold up. And so I was going through this stuff and I'm like, oh, that's a little grainy. That's not so good. And the tools, even the consumer cheap stuff, even what you have in your pocket, your phone is so much better than it was a decade ago. But yeah, the series has, you know, been an exploration. It's almost an art project in itself. You know, it's trying out some of those different ways, trying to tell different stories, different ways. I know that Troy, you've done a piece on at least one building, and I believe that another producer did a piece on, was the Frank, the architect. Well, there was the pony unicorn farm. That's the one I'm thinking of that you mm-hmm. did. And then there was that famous architect,
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yes. The Frank Lloyd Wright house.
That was, I don't know if that was for,
was that an Idaho experience?
That was part of the okay. Idaho experience, but kind of a crossover anyway.
But yeah, I mean, so how do you tell a story about a house?
That was hard. And I definitely had help from Marcia, who's definitely kind of the foundation of this series, and she unfortunately she couldn't be here with us today. Yeah. So you get me.
Sorry. She was traveling. I was going to have both Troy yeah. and Marcia on here.
So she's the storyteller. She's a great storyteller. She's been doing this for a really long time.
Yeah, we're both behind the camera.
Yeah, the house is. I learned about it several years ago, and another producer wanted to. This goes back to where public television would do things in the arts world, but not really focused on the arts. So a long time ago, I was with another producer, and he learned about this architect who lived in this house up in Sandpoint. And he was alive at the time, and he wanted to get an interview with them. I think he was like 95 or 96 at the time. And so we were up there for something else, and he arranged to shoot this interview.
Well, it's up in Sandpoint, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and he arranged to shoot the interview, and we grabbed some video of the house, just a little bit. And yeah, it's very unique. It's a pretty cool place. And
it's like built into a hill.
And yeah, yeah, it was kind of built with the environment, you know, built to live in its environment, Frank Lloyd Wright style. Mm. And so this interview just sat on the shelf forever because it never got put into this show, this, whatever public television show was going to maybe feature this artist. So anyway, fast forward, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and that producer is no longer with the station. And it was just the two of us at the time, kind of some institutional knowledge. I remembered mm-hmm. this. I was like, oh, we have this, we could use this. And so I tried to get in touch with the architect, but he had passed away. So there, he had a website. And so I got in touch with his family, who got me in touch with the current owner. And so it just became a story about why he built the house and how he built the house. Cause we had the interview with him mm-hmm. With that information. And then it was talking to the new owner about why did they want to buy a house like this? It needed some work, and they're notoriously, I mean, the roof was an earthen roof. It was built into a hill. The roof is not a shingle roof. So yeah. Like it leaked.
No, I know that Frank Lloyd Wright houses so similar tend to be.
So it, and then we got in touch with an architect professor that helped kind of describe the era and the design of this type of house. And so it's kind of unfolded like that. It's, I don't know, it's probably like 7.5 minutes long. So it's not,
sure.
It's not too deep, but it's fun. And the new owner was very, you know, accommodating for me to go back to his place and invade his space and, and reshoot his house and talk to him about the repairs that he had to make and you know why he even wanted to take this on, because the family wanted it to, you know, they didn't want it to be destroyed or anything. They wanted it to go to somebody who appreciated it. And so why does this guy appreciate it? And then anyway, it was fun.
Well, and yeah, and that's, you know, some of that statewide, you know, reach, you know, that's up in Northern Idaho. And I know that early on we've done pieces in Eastern Idaho. I mean, I know that, you know, we've done pieces all over the place. You know, it's been easier to grab pieces around here. I remember doing a piece on the Treasure Valley Rug Hookers, which is a fun group, and yeah, doing a piece on the rug hooking and stuff that they were doing, and
just make artwork into rugs, and they're full of pictures and color, and
yeah,
it's pretty fascinating.
This one actually was themed around fairy tales, and there was
and it's kind of the point of the whole project too, is to sort of highlight non-traditional things.
Mm-hmm. We had a piece where we went to Boise State at their library, had a exhibition chest with some Rosalie Sorrell's artifacts, and Marcia in the past had done a documentary with Bruce Reichert, I believe, that was the two of them that worked together to do a documentary on Rosalie Sorrell's, and she was in touch with her daughter, and her daughter came to the library and looked at the stuff and kind of talked about her knowledge of the things that were happening at the different times, and got to do a little social media piece on that. You know, it wasn't one of the capstone pieces, but it was, you know, a couple of minute long piece that got to, again, tell a story that is unique, you know, like, just how do you happen to know this random quasi-famous Idaho folk singer? You know, I mean, and I saw a video, one of our guys, I don't remember how he said he got it, but during the course of doing that video, it came up well after I had already finished putting the piece together, but he had video of Rosalie and Jerry Garcia, like, sitting together and playing, and
just wild stories, huh?
there's so many people there, like I said, dedicated to doing this, that just love it, that have been doing it for so long and collecting these stories. And one of my favorite things about the station is they've got this room that, before computers were a thing, you know, everything was done on tape, editing the shows that they aired, all of it. And so we've got this big tape archive that has a majority of what's been done for, we're about to turn 60 at public television. And it's got a lot of those things, and going through the history of it all and seeing the history of Idaho, you know, as bad as it is, I'm a transplant, you know, and being able to explore this archive and, you know, the outdoor Idahos that are there, and now the Createds and the Idaho experiences and stuff, it's been fantastic to learn about this state. And, you know, like Harry Orchard, this one wasn't from public television, this is actually through public art, but Harry Orchard, you know, like, and him being like I believe he was Set the Bomb or whatever, that was like to try and assassinate a governor back in like the 1800s or something. And but there's so many fascinating little things. Recently I was looking at something about the 1980, I believe it was 80, prison riot, where they later like raided the newsroom of Channel 2 to take their footage of the riot for evidence or something. I don't know, but wild stuff.
There's like all kinds of stuff back there.
Little old Idaho, you know, but, you know, also other stuff. Like recently I did I got some drone shots on a, piece about Minidoka, you know, and that was Idaho experience, but it kind of has a little bit of that created vibe to it, because it was about, not quite acted out, but they have the court transcripts of people who were drafted from these concentration camps and told to fight, and they said no, or they were questioned about their loyalty and they said no. And so it's these court transcripts, but they had actors who acted it out, or read the transcripts in character. And they recorded it at the Public Television Studio, and then we went out to Minidoka and took a tour through there with this group, and they talked, and one of the guys, his family was there at one point, and yeah, so these stories that you don't hear about, and that I had no idea that it's only a couple hours away, you know, there was this part of history that until I found out about it, I didn't even know about. Sorry, that's not a question. That's just me saying.
It's okay. There's just a huge archive back there that you know, you can pull from and get ideas from. Sure.
Getting back to that creative stuff, though, you know, right now you are working on a piece that you told me I could talk about a little bit. So for the last year or so, we've followed Benjamin Victor, Ben Victor. I'm not sure how he prefers to be professionally named, but he's a sculptor who is famous, but also one of those that's not, you know, if you don't know him, you don't know, but he's an amazing artist. He sculpts in clay and then creates bronzes from those. And the New Hampshire government commissioned him to craft a bronze sculpture like 8 foot tall of Krista McAuliffe, who was a teacher in space in the 1980s Challenger spaceship disaster. So we followed him for, like I said, about a year as he created like a small version and then a bigger version. And then as they cut up the giant clay version and made, well, they didn't cut up
cast the lost wax process.
Yeah. So we followed it from clay to lost wax, the creating of the wax, the going to the foundry, watching the pours for everything, watching the pieces get assembled into a sculpture and the patina, all these intricate pieces. I don't know.
Yeah, he led us into the whole process of the whole ancient lost wax process. And this was more of started out as a short project, but it turned into a big project. And then it just turns out that the same time that the New Hampshire and New Hampshire Public Television was doing a story about this statue that was going to go on their state house grounds, and they needed video of Ben Victor creating it, and so we ended up collaborating with them. We gave them video of him creating this piece, and then they, you know, we traded for some the installation when it was dedicated, and so this is one of the bigger projects, and this is more of a longer piece too. This will be a full half hour. So yeah.
And their piece has already actually come out, which has some of our footage in it. I don't know which one of us shot any of it, but.
So it's a little bit of a departure from where Created started, but it's going to be a full half hour piece just because it turned into a really big story, and it's really fascinating, and he's a pretty prolific artist. He has 4 statues in the Capitol Rotunda.
I read a little bit about him. He's like, at the time, he was like the youngest artist to have a sculpture in the National Museum. He's like the only artist to have like 4 there.
Like, he's got some statues going overseas here very soon too.
Yeah, and he's got the Lyle Smith statue outside of Boise State Stadium, I believe is one of his. But pretty much if you see a hyper realistic detailed bronze sculpture, it was probably him. like around here anyway, you know. I know he's got a lot of work here, a lot of work all over, but it's been amazing to get that kind of access, and that's what I love about this job is whether it's me doing my hobby with Boise Art Scene or me doing my day job with public television, I love being able to get that access and go behind the scenes and see the stuff that I don't know, for every 5 minute video, you know, there's that I of these, there was a 30 minute interview and an hour of standing around shooting all the little detail shots and stuff. So a lot goes into.
Well, and speaking of jobs, you know, part of our mission is to show people that there are jobs in the art world besides just being the artist. So with this project of the Lost Wax Process, there were so many people involved. I had no idea.
Oh my gosh! And, yes.
You know, there's the artist, then there's the people who
the wax
do
chasers.
The wax, and then and then people who
make
cast
mold,
it, and yeah. the bronze foundry. There's foundries that are dedicated to that. There's a welder who puts the pieces back together, and then they have to go and add this patina, and there's mm-hmm. two or three people doing that, and then there's somebody to transport it to to whatever, so wherever it's going. So
that's creative,
you know, there's it's highlighting the artist, but it's also highlighting all the other things that go along with it to get it out there. So
yeah, well, and that's with my current documentary, that's kind of my focus in a way, is that, you know, how do people exist here? You know, whether they get grants from the city to create a traffic box, or they get, you know, they're a foundation that gets a grant to put on a show, or, you know, but it's not just government funding, right? I mean, the city can't fund, you know, every artist that wants to live in Boise, but they are a piece of it, you know. Some of it, when we did the Idan piece, she lives in Pocatello, and she is hooked up with this kind of philanthropist guy who owns old buildings and really likes art and really likes her art and wants to help her. And so he kind of, in a way, subsidizes her space and her existence, and that philanthropy is part of it as well, you know. And all of that is what I'm trying to talk about with my documentary. I don't know if I hit the mark, but you can find out on the 4th if you want. But yeah, so I do see that we are about out of time.
Okay.
But I wanted to go ahead and wrap up with you and check and see if there was anything that, you know, you thought would be important to talk about with your work or yourself or wouldn't you?
Well, I'm reminded that we say the name created, but it's really just a weird spelling and a long story about how we came up with the name, but I'm not going to go into that. But it's spelled CREATEID, CREATEID. And it kind of, you know, we're Idaho born, so the ID kind of stands for Idaho. It stands for identity. It stands for,
yeah, very symbolic.
The id in your brain. The, you know, it's kind of symbolic, but it's also, you know, a creative word. And we broke the rule because, it's like in art, when you know the rules, you can break the rules. So we broke the rule on spelling and made it confusing and
well, and it's also stylized all lowercase, so you don't know, because we didn't want it to necessarily just mean Idaho, you know. Like you said, it was meant to mean many things with the ID. So the first letter and the last two letters, it's all lowercase, and yeah, it does kind of look a little bit confusing, but created is the intent of it, and
created,
it's like created,
yeah,
in Idaho.
Say it like the word created, and yeah. So you can find it at Create Idaho PTV on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, idahoptv.org/created.
Yeah, and it's not just visual artists, it's everything. It's musicians,
writers.
It's authors, mm-hmm. it's, you know, yeah, we're out of time, but we, you know, travel to the Sun Valley Writers Conference and talk with, you know, influential people there, mm-hmm. all sorts of amazing conversations, and just trying to... Another great organization trying to get the word out there about creatives in Idaho and all the great stuff that we're doing here.
Thank you.
Thank you.